I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
How about the horns? All right, we're back from Las Vegas. We literally landed 2 hours ago, and here we are recording for you guys.
We're here, at least. We're here.
Well, this, but I'm saying, like, don't act like we don't love y'all. Okay? Welcome back, Bloom.
Yeah, as I haven't seen enough of you this weekend.
I was going to say, are you tired of me yet?
A little bit.
That's okay.
No, all good. What a weekend. A whirlwind.
Real quick, full disclosure. As much as I love my friends at the Mississippi River Distilling Company, I'm going to choose to drink water on tonight's podcast.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in the same boat.
Like,
going to dry out a little bit.
It was funny. It was your wife yesterday who said to me when we were pre-gaming, and because I sat in the stands, I'll talk about that.
Yep.
And we had both ordered a drink, and we were drinking a water, you know, prior to. They do a good job of trying to keep you hydrated there in Las Vegas, which is great. It's
appreciated.
And Crystal goes, oh, my God, water tastes so good. It's like, yeah, there's a reason for that. Thanks to our friends from Mectine. The Mectine Corporation is always sponsoring the Williams & Bloom Sunday Night Podcast. Check them out at Mectine.com. That's M-E-C-H-D-Y-N-E. .com. Great weekend in Las Vegas, Bloom. We'll talk about the happenings a little bit here. We'll focus mostly on football.
Sure.
As it is, it felt like a bowl game, but then you get home and like my wife is like, you're recording tonight? And I was like, there's a Big 12 game in 6 days.
Absolutely, a big one at that.
Yeah, so like it is a different feeling when you get back from something like that. But so we're going to do a lot of football here on the podcast, but I know a lot of people are probably listening to this traveling home. A lot were coming back on Monday. A ton of delays out of Vegas on Sunday as that airport was completely overwhelmed, not just with Iowa State fans, I think just in general with COVID, worker shortages, stuff like that. But our charter was on the runway. We were 12 deep for takeoff, which is crazy. At an airport, that's not at like JFK.
Yeah, it didn't seem normal for them to be that backed up. And so we sat there for a good hour.
Yeah.
Sort of wanting to get out of there, but
that's all right.
If that's all it is, then
first world problems.
Yeah, I mean, but everything else from that charter was pretty flawless. So kudos to Cyclone Liquors and team. That was awesome.
Yes. Thanks to everybody who traveled with us in Cyclone Liquors. We had an amazing time. Those guys have become such great partners of ours. It's truly a partnership. I've become really good friends with Brian, who owns Cyclone Liquors, and just his whole crew is amazing. And we have an amazing group of really an amazing group of people who travel with us. Like, we have a very similar group each and every time, and they're really chill.
Yeah, pretty, like, low maintenance.
Yeah, you don't really have to worry about anybody getting too worked up. And, like, it's a great blue collar. Like, you got some older people, you got some younger people, you got some families. It's a nice mix of everybody. So thank you to everybody who came with us.
Yeah, was that just outstanding? And honestly, it was probably the perfect amount of time. I think
yes.
three nights in Vegas.
Yeah,
a fourth night would have been overdoing it.
No, I'm good. I'm glad to be back. I'm really excited to dig in and start doing Big 12 football stuff. To be honest, Bloom, that was a. I mean, listen, it wasn't a perfect game by any means, and I think you heard that by Matt Campbell after the game, which is a great spot for your program to be in when you win by 45, albeit against a bad football team.
Not a good football team.
Vegas was one of the worst teams I've ever seen an Iowa State team play, but. You know, if Iowa State wasn't better, then they wouldn't have made Vegas look so bad. So that's a fact too. We can get into all that later, but it was a step in the right direction. Like that was better than limping. You know, and
absolutely,
we've seen that before. And then there's momentum now. There wasn't momentum in this program a week ago. There's momentum now.
Well, and the common refrain after the game from the team in the post game was, we just wanted to cut it loose and have fun again.
Yeah,
and
you could tell they were.
You forget sometimes that these are 18 to 22-year-old people, you know?
And humans,
yeah. Yeah, they're human. And the expectations and the hype was insane before the season. And you can see how that can weigh on somebody, and then you have a disappointing week one, you still won, and then all the circumstances around the Iowa game, and you don't win that game, how it's kind of like, man, this has been a pretty heavy start to the year.
It really has.
And then to go out to Vegas, which was super helpful, I think, for the team, they went out a day early.
Was that strategic by Campbell?
It was. This is before Iowa, though, so it was strategic because of the time zone issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually really worked to their benefit. They stayed nowhere near the Strip. They were 40 minutes away, and there's something about you've traveled with basketball before.
Mm-hmm.
Those road trips can really kind of fortify your team. Like, yeah. You're not, it's all the outside stuff is blocked. It's just you guys, and that felt a lot like last year's team to me, where each supporting each other, ton of energy right away from the get go, and it just looked like. And Brock said it after the game. Hutchinson said it after the game. Newell said it after the game. Call Newell had a great quote. He said, you know, this was a kid's game. We need to treat it like a kid's game. You know, in essence, they had almost become too serious and too businesslike about what the program was. And yesterday, just in Vegas, cool spot, go have fun, let it rip. And it just fed off each other. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, you could tell. Whitford said it to me after the game that he thought that they looked like they were playing with more passion.
Just energy, more fun. Yeah.
Character.
Yeah. They weren't afraid of making a mistake almost.
Yeah.
And then Purdy was a lot better. I mean, Purdy had one of his better stat lines. Again, defense wasn't great, but he was good outside of the fumble, which, you know,
I think he was,
what it is.
I think he was
trying to make a play.
I think he was good in the first quarter. I think he was borderline bad in the second quarter.
Yep.
I think he was great in the third.
That's a good
point. I thought that the third quarter was the best football we've seen from him all year.
Well, and then he finally got his go-to guy, and I mean, Hutchinson is an all Big 12 guy, but he looked like it. Now, against the secondary of UNLV, totally different than what he's going to see this week and the weeks ahead, but that was what did Campbell say? Our A guys need to be A players, and they all of them were.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of the good, really good Iowa State players were excellent, and that bodes well going forward because, you know, you look at that defense, and specifically, we talked about it after the game when we were at we were hanging out in the hotel. Mike Rose is so good,
dude,
that he's almost underappreciated even as a defensive player of the year in the conference. And then Will McDonald cannot be blocked right now. That defense is going to keep Iowa State in every game. In fact, I would venture to say right now, I think Iowa State still, even despite the loss to Iowa, has been as good as Oklahoma.
I would agree. Yeah, I think Oklahoma is one of the great disappointments so far in college football, despite the fact that they're 3-0. We'll touch on them when we get to our Big 12 segment. Sticking with the Cyclone, some things that stood out. So the defense was dominant. We thought that they would be UNLV's offensive line completely overmatched. So watch the when you go back and watch the tape. I've already watched the. I wanted to watch the drive again where UNLV's one drive.
Yeah.
Okay. In the third quarter, when they took it down there,
they had 66 of their 130 yards in that.
Mike Rose made two plays back to back. It was what ended up forcing them. It was on field first. Goal. I think it was first and second down, which ultimately led to their field goal, where he made two plays on opposite ends of the field back to back that were incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that he really popped for me. I think Gary Vaughn is. Man, to think that guy's a backup right now is pretty yep. pretty insane.
Yep. Kamani King was awesome.
Kamani King was phenomenal. Thank God that they didn't lose him with the targeting thing because I could see that being a problem next week without him.
Although I think that happened in the first half.
What did you think about the...
So he would have been able to play.
Oh, okay. The targeting... I mean, I liked how those officials... handled targeting yesterday. I wish more officials would do it that way, but man, like I have no idea what targeting it's is
still,
now.
Still nobody does. And I think what would really help the sport if they had levels.
Yeah.
Like I think you can add discretion to the officiating here. It's like, okay, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. There could be a, hey, that's a leading, like, I don't know what you would call it.
That's a 10 like yard penalty.
Unnecessary roughness. You
know, automatic first down.
Yeah, but don't kick the guy out. Like, yeah. I wish there'd be a little, another
well,
layer here.
I applauded those officials for the way that
Big
they
12
did
crew,
it. They,
by the way.
That's how it should be, in my opinion. But I was shocked because I thought that Kaimani's was like textbook targeting.
Yeah.
Like,
I was shocked up
when
in the
they
booth,
overturned it.
John and Eric always look at me like I should know the answer to these things. Like, I think it's going to stand. And so I was surprised when they let him stay.
I was surprised when the UNLV guy in the second half didn't get it too. Let's nitpick because that's what we do.
That's how you get better.
I'm still not, the running game wasn't, I mean, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Brees averaged, he had 100 yards. I think he averaged like 4.8 yards per play. But he never was really, we still didn't see that explosiveness. I thought yesterday's game would result in multiple 50-plus yard plays where not just Brees, but if it's Tariq Milton or if it's Hutch or whoever breaks loose. And we still, I guess, didn't see that explosiveness. I'm not panicking. Because they were very efficient, right? Like the offense made strides. I guess I wanted to see a little bit more domination by Iowa State's running game where when Vegas knew, oh, they're going to run, you can still run because your offensive line and running back are that much better.
Yep.
And I don't think we saw that. That was the one thing on my box that didn't really get checked.
I think that's fair. I think I thought after that first drive and a half, I said, oh, Brees is going to run for 180.
I did too.
You know, because he was like, it was 10, 12 yards a run and then kind of dried up. Now, I'm sure they had more attention up front and you saw the pass game really start clicking in the third quarter once they had that much attention up front. But you're right. Still hasn't unlocked completely yet. It was better. But now you have a step up and the Baylor defense with Dave Aranda.
Dave Aranda is
really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Brees got to 100 yards. I mean, I think they put him in there for that one carry and late in the third just to get him to 100, which is great. So first time he's been at 100 this year. It's just not quite there. It was better, but not quite there. And I think the way Iowa State wants to play, I thought they were really physical, which is great, but got to get a little bit better in the run game to sustain that. But it is nitpicking a little bit because they only had one punt all game.
Correct.
So it's like,
and that was when like the backups were all in too. So
and they could have even gone for that.
We are nitpicking.
But
I want to make it clear.
I thought after that first drive, like Iowa State's going to run for 300 yards in this game.
Yeah.
And it's going to get ugly. And it did get ugly.
They just didn't run
for 300 yards.
And it could have been significantly uglier too.
Yeah.
I do think too there was probably an element going into that game with the game plan is okay, get up three scores or whatever and let's really build Brock Purdy back up.
That's what it looked like to me.
I think that they were Maybe that was it though, Brent. That they knew that they could have run all over them too, and
sure,
they were
that could be
working on things. I don't really know how they would approach that, but that was one thing I was thinking about specifically in the third quarter after Brock had made the fumble. He had made the one, really his one bad pass of the day, which almost got picked off. It was to a tight end, I believe.
Yep.
And maybe that was the game plan going into the third.
And it was nice. I thought Kohler looked a lot fresher.
He did too.
He looked active, yeah, which is good. I thought Joe Skates had maybe his best game. I mean, he was pretty explosive, which was nice. We talked about Hutchinson. So you've got some guys, and then it was fun at the end with the little interest left to see Sanders made a couple plays, and then Silas.
Yeah.
Was really, really good. So
that's everybody's new favorite player.
And Campbell talked about in the post game with Eric Heft. He's like, yeah, you know, we've got guys. So everyone who's basically suggesting that this magic carpet ride is going to end after this senior class leaves, I don't know. You know, there's some pretty good dudes in the pipeline that the coaching staff really is pumped up about. And you know, you saw some rumors again this weekend, and it wasn't front page news at all. But you saw Feldman suggest that Campbell's going to be one of the candidates for USC, or one that they should talk to. I don't know if Matt's interested at all, but you know, I don't think it's lip service when the staff says, you know, we're in this for the long haul, and our pipeline's pretty good.
All right, real quick, I want to do, we'll pay some bills here, but I want to tell everybody when we get back why. I know everybody was disappointed last week, but this is without question the greatest time in history to be a fan of Iowa State football. Real quick, I want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. Shout out to Jeff Wood, the owner of Gravitate Coworking.
I wish I was spent more time with
Jeff. Yeah, I did too. Jeff, I talked to him a little bit getting out of the airport.
There were so many people there.
That was insane. And the other thing about Vegas is it's so big. Like, you can't.
Yes.
Like, my wife had never been there, and I was trying to explain, like, you can't just walk across the street and go to another casino. Like, right. You know, like, if you haven't been there, you think, like, oh, it's a strip.
It's just right over there.
Yeah, no, it's like four interstates. But anyways, gravitatecoworking.com. I was talking to Jeff a little bit about the business, actually, and it sounds like things are going really well in downtown Des Moines. Membership options are all listed at gravitatecoworking.com. And I like the FAQs page right there, and This is a new concept, so a lot of people still have questions about this, but you can buy anything from a floating desk to a dedicated desk to a private office, and they've got all sorts of great options. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Where was I going? I was going to do...
Greatest time for Iowa State.
I had a stat from postgame last night. You can give more insight on this than me with your history, but this is straight from the postgame notes. Okay. Iowa State has just won its 14th game as a ranked team since 2017. Here's the kicker. Prior to that, from 1892 through 2016,
yeah,
Iowa State had only won 13 games as a ranked team.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
And like to think like, I mean, listen, I think fans want us to come on here and be critical after a game like last week. We should be. Matt Campbell's critical. You think that they're just sitting around talking about how great they are? Absolutely not. But my point is, like, looking back, and when you see a stat like that, it's just like, oh, it's a good, you know, it's a good pinch me moment as to what we're living through right now.
It was fun this morning to get up, and you're on the West Coast. So the polls come out a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And so I get up, oh, you know, we're 14th, ho-hum. You know, didn't drop any, didn't move up any, but still 14th is still, it's pretty crazy. And it really hit home to me how cool it was just in that whole Vegas scene, because last year was special football-wise, but nobody could be around it. And it was really nice just to have people, so many Iowa State fans out there. They estimated, C-Dub, 25,000 to 30,000 is what I heard for Iowa State fans. So the total attendance in that thing was 36,000 in Allegiant Stadium. And it was clearly 75-25 Iowa State. And so, but it was nice for people to have that experience. They could not go to the Fiesta Bowl last year.
Yeah.
The Big 12 championship game was weird. You would have had similar numbers in both of those locations had that happened.
Absolutely.
But this was great. And, you know, people spent a lot of money to get out there. But it was those pictures, and you made the walk of the bridge across.
It was incredible.
It was, you know, like a zombie movie of these Cyclone fans crossing this bridge to the Death Star.
So what happened there? And again, I sat in the stands with my wife. I haven't, which I never do. It's been, I've told the story about when Coach Campbell gave my friends the Hutchinson some tickets. So I sat in the stands for that game. And then last year I took my daughter to one of the COVID games. But prior to that, it had been 2005 since I've sat there in the stands.
Totally get it. Yeah.
So that was a blast. So I'm doing the fan thing, and the Mandalay Bay, so like the sportsbook area / like there's this bar area, the casino, and then there's this exit that walks you to Allegiant Stadium, and you have to go over this bridge, which is walking over the strip, essentially.
Yep. Over the interstate.
And so like an hour and a half before the game, Mandalay Bay is one of the biggest casinos.
It is massive.
In Las Vegas. It was all Iowa State fans. And you could not get a beer anywhere. Like just boisterous. And I saw Niang walk through. Like it was pandemonium.
Yeah.
Like it was, and then so we all left
in mass
for some reason at the same time. And there's tens of thousands of Iowa State fans walking across this bridge.
Some inebriated.
To Allegiant.
Yeah.
And like the funny part was, so like, it's really difficult to get to that stadium. If you're a UNLV fan, I was talking, there were a couple of them in like the group, and I asked them, like, what do you think? He's like, and this older guy, you could tell he's like a lifer. He's been a UNLV football fan forever. And I think he's annoyed that they're playing at Allegiant Stadium now. And first of all, he obviously said he's never seen anything like it. But two, basically that's how you have to get to games. Unless you're like a rich UNLV with fam of the
park. Very limited parking.
There's no parking. Yeah. So you basically park at Mandalay Bay and then you walk over there. And like there's just tens of thousands of Iowa State fans that are all drunk. And it was like they were invading. It was incredible.
And with the casinos in the background, it was really cool. I was doing some math after the game. And this is silly, but this is what separates Iowa State fans, and there's very few fan bases like it, but I just want to put it in context here. Let's say everybody that went to that game spent about, this is conservative, $1,500 a person, okay?
That's very conservative.
So flight, hotel, and you
really can't
buy a cheeseburger and it's $25. You get a, you know, you get a Diet Coke,
if you
it's
can
$6.
Do it for $1,500.
That's pretty cheap. Yeah. So I'm not trying to be crazy here.
Yeah.
So if you do the math, 25,000 people at $1,500 spent each, that's $37,500,000 that Iowa State fans would have spent on that trip. To put that in context, that's the exact same as what the Big 12 payout is in TV revenue.
Yeah.
But so, I mean,
that's incredible. What,
so we always talk about, oh my gosh, the finances involved and, you know, how do we make up this deficit? Well, I mean, it just goes to show the power in Iowa State is in the sheer numbers and size. And beyond the TV ratings thing, which we've discussed, there is power in that many people going on a road game and staying engaged and involved. That is great for Iowa State. And even though we don't have a medical school and a law school, there's something about that group of Iowa State people that cumulatively can make a difference. And even in an atmosphere, but I think just as a fan base in general, there are very few schools that could have done that this weekend. I mean, maybe three or four. Like, there's just not many other outside of, you know, I'm sure Alabama, LSU, some of those ones in the SEC would have traveled like that. But to think of what Iowa State has become just in the fan base, to get 25, 30,000 people to spend upwards of a couple thousand each to go follow Iowa State in a non-conference game. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And what a, I mean, it was so cool.
I don't even know what else to say.
We're walking around, right? And it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, you just, you're picking out people, you know, left and right. And it's like, you can't, it was impossible to be able to sit and talk to everybody because there were so many people out there.
It was. And again, like, it's just so hard to get around in Vegas. Yeah. Like, I mean, I talked to a lot of people on our charter and they didn't even leave Mandalay Bay the whole time. Cause they went across the street, got beer and stuff at the liquor store, and then came back and hung out all week.
It was one of those weekends. It's just a memorable experience, and I'm glad that, you know, the game was fine, but it was that whole collective of getting together on the road again that makes Iowa State fans so special.
Okay, so I got a great deal for you guys. When the Cyclones win this year, our friends at Farm Story Meats are giving away free stuff.
Oh boy!
Promo code right now: Roll-Clones, all in capital letters. Roll-Clones. You get a free package of barbecue pork jerky with any purchase that you make. That's after the big win. So any Saturday now. Now we waited to do this till tonight because it was like 2:30 in the morning when we got off of Cyclone Reaction last night, and I didn't do an instant reaction podcast either for the same purpose because
one's gonna be listening.
Yeah, Roll-Clones. FarmStoryMeats.com. Go and get your order in with the promo code ROLLCLONES, and you're going to get a barbecue pork jerky package. Main man Ray Schmidt says it's like beef jerky, but better. He's actually sent me some of that, and it's really freaking good. All right. Let's kind of move on now and look ahead to next week. Iowa State is a 7-point favorite.
It's dropped to 5.5 already.
Good.
That's what I saw. So money on the Bears.
Real quick, and I do want to point this out. I said this, I believe, in our preseason pod. Mm-hmm. I don't like this spot for Iowa State. I didn't like it 2 months ago. This sets up to be a really difficult game, in my opinion. You have two highly emotional opening week. You play Iowa, which is always a zoo. Then you have basically like a bowl game. I'm not saying they treated it like that, but I mean,
they spent an extra day.
Yeah, so it's a different deal. The team got home at around 6 a.m.
Yep.
On Sunday morning. What that does is delay everything that you're normally doing, from like treatment to film to whatever you would normally do on a Sunday. I don't know their whole Sunday routine.
Sure.
But everything is delayed. Everything has changed. And now you have to turn around and go to Waco, which is one of the most brutal road trips to make in the Big 12 because it's so freaking hard to get to. Not really for a charter, but you know what I mean. The hotel situation is terrible there.
Yeah, the team does not stay in Waco. They have to stay not in Waco.
Yeah, so it's all...
You have to travel an extra 45 minutes.
My point is, it's a bad road trip. This is not Lawrence.
Not Lawrence.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. And it's going to be hotter than hell there because it always is when you play.
Forecast of 91 on Saturday.
So that's not good. I mean, I'm not saying Iowa State's not in shape, but I'm just saying, like, this is a really tough stretch that I don't think most people off the top of their heads would have gone, Baylor wasn't very good last year. Well, they put a big scare in Iowa State and Ames a year ago. This is a tough spot. I think Iowa State will be okay here, but Baylor is riding it's Kansas, but they beat them 45-7 or whatever it was this week. I haven't watched a ton of Baylor yet, just full disclosure here, because we just got home.
Yep.
But Bloom, this is a game that when I saw the schedule made me nervous.
Yeah, it's tricky. And then close game 2 years ago down there, Baylor won. Iowa State won there in 17, but I think that's the only time they've won in Waco, at least in that new stadium. And it is. This is weird. So your timing's off a little bit. So, you know, they'll leave Friday for Texas, and then it's hot, and I hopefully have the tent situation figured out and all that good stuff. But plus,
Baylor, what do you know about the tents? Baylor, tell us what you know about the tents.
I know nothing other than it has to be on the radar if necessary. And Baylor's sneaky right now because I thought they were one of the teams last year that really got hurt by COVID because they hired Aranda in January, February. COVID hits in March. He wasn't able to coach his team. I think he's a smart guy. They fired Larry Fedora, the offensive coordinator, in the offseason, brought in the BYU offensive coordinator, and it's early, super early. Their competition has been zero, but they're 3-0, and they're second in the nation right now in total offense. So that is a big step up from where they were a year ago.
Dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, and Bohannon is good. Now, he's kind of an unknown before this year, but he has been super accurate as a quarterback. Now, he has not seen anything like Iowa State will throw at him, and he was, when he had spot duty last year, he was not good in Big 12 play. So I think Bohannon's one of those quarterbacks that Iowa State should be able to get to and maybe cause some mistakes. And that defense has been so lights out. I have a hard time thinking Baylor's going to put up prolific numbers. However, the defense is good. Aranda's a defensive coach, and it's going to be a slugfest. They're physical. They've got a couple really high-level Big 12 defensive players, but safety and linebacker. Defensive line's okay. And you're on the road. So, yeah, I think there's numerous factors why this thing is has a chance to go right down to the wire. And obviously it's going to have to get used to these one-possession, two-possession games because this is going to be another close one.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I'm not surprised that my guess is that a lot of sharp action went in on Baylor
right away
when that opened at a touchdown.
Yep.
And I probably would have gone that route too. Now that it's below, I think it's a lot more intriguing because I could see Iowa State. Let's get back to that Oklahoma conversation because I think that this all kind of plays together. Now that we've seen Iowa State kind of break out a little bit, again, I want to be careful. UNLV is bad. Like that's one of the worst teams I've ever seen. I'm not trying to pee on everybody's Cheerios here. I'm just calling us. That was a bad, bad football team. I also thought it was funny that the seventh best attended game in the history of UNLV football last night. Did you see that?
I did see that. They were very proud of that.
That is fantastic. Go and read the replies.
It's like, well, guys.
Hey, who wants to tell them? I saw that. Here's the deal. Like, so even at 2-1, which I would call a disappointing 2-1
mm-hmm.
for Iowa State, they didn't look good in their first win.
Nope.
And then the Iowa game was vastly overwhelming for a lot of reasons. Last night was exactly what we thought it would be.
Yep. To a T.
But really, if you look at the Big 12 at this point, really nothing has changed.
Mm-mm.
I thought Kansas State would be one of the more surprising teams in the league. They handled Nevada. I thought Nevada was favored in that game. Yeah, Skylar Thompson's out, so we'll see how they do in the Big 12.
It was tied in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So they made some plays late.
Good win by Oklahoma State at Boise.
Very impressive.
So they're 3-0.
Yep.
But, like, there's really nothing that's happened in the Big 12 that makes me think, oh, Iowa State's in a different spot. Now, I don't know. Like, if you're an Oklahoma fan right now, after that Nebraska game, you damn near lost to Tulane at home.
Mm-hmm. And Tulane just got destroyed by Ole Miss.
Spencer Rattler did not look that.
He looks pretty average.
Yeah, our guys struggled some, but like it's not like Spencer Rattler is setting the world on fire. He doesn't look like Baker Mayfield, I can tell you that, at this point in his career. So, I don't know, Bloom. Like I would say, I haven't even looked. Maybe there are odds out there. I would say Iowa State is still right there as far as like a Vegas odd would go to be in the Big 12 championship game, even after a disappointing 2-1 start.
Yeah, and I think it's disappointing because of the offense and the special teams, not because of the defense.
The defense has been
lights actually, up. But this is so, to my point here, it's actually exceeded expectations to a point where Iowa State is leading the country in defense right now in both total yards and yards per play. They've been so good that it, you even look at these games, you're like, I don't see how Iowa State is not in every single game because of the talent of that defense. Sure, you play Oklahoma, you play Oklahoma State, you know, some of those, Tech can sling it around a little bit maybe. They'll put up some points just because that's what they do, but I think Iowa State is in every single game. And if you would put the point spreads up of the remaining games on the schedule, Iowa State is still favored in every single game right now except for the one in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
which is the exact same as it was
before
the season. And so from that standpoint, yeah, they're absolutely right there with Oklahoma. And you give me Iowa State's defense against OU right now as anemic as they looked at times yesterday. And I know it's one game, small sample size and all that. I'll give Iowa State a puncher's chance in Norman. And, roll it out there, see what happens. So I think everything is still on the table. And you know what? College football has been so crazy this year.
This is playing out just like every other, like they sucked in September. And then there's a little game where it's like, oh, the Monroe game, the Vegas game. And then they're like, oh, they're the clones.
They could put a, they could turn this on right now, but the games are still sneaky. This is a super sneaky game. West Virginia just beat a top 15 team at home yesterday. That's a tough road trip as well. And then Tech is better than I thought they would be.
Kansas State game's terrifying. Yeah, West Virginia game's terrifying.
That's what I'm saying. None of these are going to, outside of Kansas, everything else is going to be,
Buckle up.
You better bring it.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's do some point spreads. Tech at Texas. This is really our first week of Big 12 football. Of course, we had Baylor, Kansas, but that doesn't really count. We've already played Guess the Spreads.
We were killing time in the airport.
We were doing this in the airport. The completely overwhelmed Vegas airport.
What was more overwhelmed?
I know where you're going here.
The international airport in Vegas or the offensive tackles for UNLV yesterday.
I knew you were making it.
Sorry, I had to do
it. No, it's great. I love it. Tech is a 10-point underdog at Texas.
Huh, okay. See, that's a lot of respect to Tech, honestly.
Opened at 13, already dropped it.
Yeah. Oh.
SMU at TCU.
I still don't know what to think about TCU. I don't even know what this
will
one
be
is.
A decent little test for them. That's a big
SMU's
rivalry.
Okay. Yep.
TCU's a 10-point favorite in that one.
Okay.
I would actually consider playing
SMU. Is that in Fort Worth?
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter because they don't
right
have a lot of fans. And
right.
SMU fans, if they want to go to the game, they can. Let's see. What do we else have on the docket here? Just in case you're wondering, Iowa's a 22.5-point favorite over Colorado State. I would play Colorado State there. I could not believe that they went and won at Toledo.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
That was a shocker. Absolute shocker to me. Iowa State, that's now at 6 right now.
6, okay.
The number is 47.5. It's steamed up 4 points since the open.
So it started at 43?
Yeah.
Man, that is some respect to the Iowa State defense, though.
No doubt about that.
You get anything in the 40s in college football, that is low.
Kansas is at Duke.
Oh, man.
What do you think about that one? We didn't play this one.
Coach K is retiring. just have Bill Self and Coach K there at halftime.
15.5.
Oof.
That'll be a terrible football
game. Yeah, I'm not going to watch that game.
Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Excuse me.
Okay.
That is steamed down right where I told you I thought it would be. Opened at 9. It's at 7.5 now.
Okay.
I think I said 6.5, so it's right.
Seems like K-State always plays well down there, too.
I need to watch that Kansas State-Nevada game because they were a shell of what the last year when Thompson went out, but then that other kid got some time, but he sucked in relief of Thompson in his first game back.
I'm curious what his numbers were, because he could not throw a forward pass last year, and that's kind of critical for a quarterback.
Well, and then, like, because they've got Deuce, who's really good, but if there's zero threat to throw the ball, then you can just tee off on him.
Yep.
West Virginia at Oklahoma, a fascinating line of 16.5.
Okay, so it's gone down.
Yeah, it started at 17.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, West Virginia can run it a little bit with Brown. Brown's been super good.
Oklahoma just has not been overwhelming. But, I mean, they haven't been bad. They're just not.
So, K-State's Will Howard, the quarterback, was only 7 of 10 yesterday.
Okay, so they're basically...
They still don't throw the ball. Now, he threw it for 123 yards and a touchdown, but, man. Run for them.
Well, Bloom, it's time to do some scoreboard watching and that type of stuff. It'll be fun.
You know, this is the great thing is the non-conference was extra stressful, I thought. You know, it was a heavy first couple of games.
So glad it's
now
over.
You can get out of that those weeds. This was a get right game for a lot of ways. A nice reset button for the team, I think, for the fans, for everybody. And now all eyes on the Big 12. That was the prize coming back. That's why those guys decided to come back, was to win a Big 12 championship. And nothing changes my mind that Iowa State can compete for that right now.
I hope so. We will be back a little bit shorter because, again, we just are kind of getting our bearings straight. We literally just got back and said, hey, let's get the podcast done. And what was your favorite part of the Vegas trip in general, Boyne? Let's talk off the football field. We did the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil.
That was a lot.
Now, that was intense.
That was intense.
That was one of the more...
The volume in that place worked.
Yeah.
Like blowing air on you. I mean, the whole thing was just an over.
Did you like it?
I did.
I mean, was your idea to go to it.
No, I thought it was great. It was just, man, there's just a lot going on between the music and the volume, the people jumping off trampolines and stuff.
I honestly, when we walked out of there, I thought, this is what it's like to be on acid. Like, this is what when people take ecstasy.
That's what you imagine it would feel like?
When you take, when like Iowa State students pop ecstasy.
I don't know how many
or mushrooms.
That. Right.
And then they go down to sips.
You know what I mean? 90 minutes straight of.
Just, and then, there's like these.
Like a cut hanging from the ceiling.
Flying like all right over your, like right by your head. It was intense.
I recognized all the songs. Michael Jackson had a lot of jams, man.
You forget how talented that guy was.
He was filthy. Yeah. Weirdo.
Total creep.
Weirdo. Guy could.
Yeah, but like they really in that thing really celebrate Michael Jackson.
They did, and the whole era of it. I mean, that was cool. I thought that part was neat. They had it.
Yeah, but like they make him out to be, oh man, world peace.
Yeah, the world peace thing.
Looking out for children.
Right. I thought that got a little carried away with that.
Shocking that you were a skeptic.
As somebody who is, as somebody.
You thought it was a little too liberal, huh?
No, I had nothing to do with politics.
Just kidding.
Yeah, when you're a cheap person like me, like I do not like to spend money. Vegas is a horrible place to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just kind of mad the whole time at the cost of things. I was like, what? Coffee cost me $8.50? And, anyway.
Yeah, well, the wives made a clutch move and went and got us beer across the street. And then your wife taught us how to, like, create a cooler in the sink.
In the sink, yep.
That was clutch. Yep. Shout out to our friends at Cody Road and Mississippi River.
They
provided everyone who went on our charter 6 shooters, which the value of 6 shooters at a casino in Las Vegas, I mean, that's like $100 value. It's like $100 worth of bourbon.
We're the first night down there, and my wife were like, oh, let's go get a drink at one of the bars in the casino. And we had a couple mixed drinks. And the guy's like, yeah, that'll be $37.50. Like, what? What have we done?
Man, you missed out. We went down.
I didn't go to Fremont, and I should have, and I'm still mad about it.
My in-laws, what a group of, this is my in-laws, my wife, and the Blythes.
Your in-laws were the MVPs. Oh, they hung with everything.
They're the best. Yeah. I'm so lucky to have them. And we played me and Brittany Blythe because everybody else. Todd's a wimp. Todd can't hang.
Todd, Brittany's the star of that
Todd
show.
Todd and my wife end up like just outside. Me and Brittany play blackjack at Binion's for like 3 hours straight. And the other thing that I picked up on is how I'm so not used to cigarette smoke everywhere I go.
Oh, that was distracting to me too.
How dry is your nose right now?
The whole throat, nose, and the whole situation. I was like, is this the air outside? Is it the smoke? What are we doing?
Unbelievable.
A couple highlights for me. The
topless
guy,
pool.
Walking by that was interesting. I did not. Well, anyway, and walking outside the M&M store, and he's got these Paw Patrol characters. So my boys are being Paw Patrol right now, and this guy takes off his Paw Patrol mask, starts smoking a joint. It's like that's not the marshal I know, buddy.
That's legal.
I know it is, and that's the other thing.
You didn't do anything wrong.
The aroma in Vegas was ever present.
I mean, it smells like weed
everywhere you go.
It sounds like weed and sewage.
Yeah, everywhere you go.
You're either going to smell sewage or marijuana.
Or smoke.
Yeah.
Golf. It's just an interesting place. But all good things. I did not lose all my money. In fact, C-Dub, I got on a heater
at
2:30 in the morning last
Congrats
night.
Congrats to
on
you.
On the Tarzan penny slots,
Amen
buddy.
Amen to you. I
good,
love it.
It was a good night.
This is why you go to Binion's and play the $10 tables, though. So, by the way, Brittany Blythe, Todd's wife, killed it. She made like $350 playing $10 blackjack tables that night. She was on fire.
Todd always needs a good wing person. It was Meyer, now it's his wife.
I played for 3 hours right next to her, lost $5 on the night.
That's a win.
But I got all their free drinks. That's the key. And then I think I made like 160 at the sports book. So I ended up plus a little bit. But I'm just not a slot guy like you are.
Well, that was the one where I'm like, man, I was feeling good. Iowa State just destroyed UNLV. I hadn't really gambled much because I was doing other stuff and got on a heater, buddy, on the Tarzan machine.
Yeah, man.
Those things are fancy. Like, your seat starts to rumble when you get the wilds.
That's,
buddy, it's intoxicating.
I've never experienced that in my life.
It's intoxicating. That's
you know what else is intoxicating? When you have $100 on Penn State at -5. And the Iowa under. Just play Iowa unders if you go into Vegas.
3 days was enough.
All right. I hope you guys had a fun
good
trip,
to see everybody
even if
there.
You didn't make it.
Hey, by the way, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? When random Fanatic podcast listeners would stop us and
thank
say hello.
Thank you so much.
It means
we don't deserve you guys. Appreciate y'all. We're gonna let the super creepy Michael Jackson. I'm just like, I'm sitting in that show, and I get it. He's super talented, but like, are we not gonna talk about the allegations at all? Is it? We're just completely forgetting about this. We're not even going to acknowledge it in this show.
We're going to do the moonwalk, and we're going to be happy. Buddy.
I mean, he was a great dancer. I know he was. Immensely talented. We don't have stars like that anymore. We really don't, because you can be a star on YouTube. My dog could start a YouTube channel if I set it up for him. Probably get some people to watch. This guy was a total badass back in the day, but he also did some really creepy stuff, allegedly.
Yeah. But
we just didn't even acknowledge
that's
it.
Not the, I don't think the.
But yeah, but I think
it's the Soleil show at the Mandalay Bay is the forum to get into that.
Somewhat offensive to me that they didn't at the beginning be like, hey, we acknowledge some of the allegations that were made against this man. Now we're going to entertain you. And then I would have been like, okay, appreciate that.
Maybe we should write them an email.
I'm going to send them handwritten note.
Dear Cirque du Soleil One show, I appreciate the volume of your show, but could you acknowledge Michael Jackson a little more? Signed, the under Iowa better.
I don't know what Iowa, Colorado State is. Play the under. All right. He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. Well, hey.
I can tell you one thing, and before we go, the weekend in Waco will be way less interesting.
We gotta have like a candid camera on you and Walters and Heft.
Yeah, yeah. We're at the.
I gotta know about Harklaw's road behavior. What the?
Yeah,
it'd be tough to replace Bruns at the bar.
We'll keep you posted.
All right.
Have a good week, everybody.
Later, guys.